I'll be honest with you, I missed the boat completely on texting when it came out. I told somebody, I forget who, the real stupid thing, I think I told you, yeah. One of the dumbest things I've ever said, I said, texting, that's never going to pick up. Who's going to use texting? I mean, come on. You know how long it takes to type a sentence? With all you do, you call somebody, you tell them, and you hang up and you're done. Who's going to want to spend the time there texting? Man, was I wrong, right? Don't take any financial advice from me on what to invest in or futures or anything like that. Because, man, I didn't see it. And now texting is like massive. And I marvel at the speed of some people texting. It's like they're like, what? Like that was 7 paragraphs. Like, unbelievable how they do it. And the accuracy and the just, I struggle. I still write text with one finger, okay? But hey, it works for me. It takes me a little longer. What if you got a text from God? What would that look like? What if you're just, you know, you're having a bad day, you're struggling, you've been praying, and you need God to talk to you, and you got your phone, and you're there, and you're maybe listening to some music or whatever, and you get the message. Boom! You got a text message. And you look at it, and it's a text message from God. What would it sound like? What would it be like? Would we even realize what was happening? And please, I'm not inventing a new doctrine here. I'm not saying God's going to text message you. What I'm saying is that sometimes the messages God gives us are so necessary, so clear in His Word. But if we don't open His Word, it's just like not opening the text message, not reading what somebody wrote to you. And we miss it. And we sometimes really, really miss it. So that's our topic tonight, text message from God, okay? And here's what the text message that I want to deal with, that I think this is one of the messages that God would definitely send to us if He were sending us text messages. Are you okay? You need help? Speak to me. I think if we got a message like that, it would make an impact in our lives. And you know what? That's exactly the message you're getting from God tonight. Because God may not use your phone to convey that message, but He uses His Word. And He puts these thoughts in our hearts as we prepare to speak about God's Word to His church, to His people. And this is one of those areas where God will respond to you. God will deal with you. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe you've been asking God for some direction. Maybe, you know, you're having a hard time. You're struggling with uncertainty, with a decision, with whatever it may be. Or maybe things are good and God is telling you, hey, you need help, I'm here. I'm here for you. Have you ever had a friend say, hey, if anything ever, you know, you can count on me, I'm here for you. We've all heard people say that. Can you really rely on people? Depends. Sometimes, if it's not too inconvenient, when you need help, those friends will be there. But a lot of times, it's just words. Just words. And we say things sometimes we really don't mean. We say things sometimes, I'm guilty of it. And man, I got called on it. I got called on it once. This is one guy that helped me, you know, move some stuff in my house and take some stuff out of my house. And that day he helped me. And, you know, I said what I heard my father say a million times, what all people say when somebody, you know, visits your house, you know, esta es tu casa, this is your house, you know, whatever, you know, we can do, however, you know. And the guy just goes, oh, that's great, man. Because I've been wanting to open a little office for my business, and I don't have where to open it. So you think I can have a room? And I'm like, well, no, not really. It's like I got called on it, like right on the spot, you know? Sometimes we offer things we just can't fulfill. I couldn't believe he was asking me for a room in my house to open an office for his business. All I said was, you know, the polite thing to say, hey, this is your house, you know, whatever. You know, not whatever. I don't say that anymore. So I learned, okay. But when God tells you that He's there for you, He's there for you. When God tells you, I've got your back, He's got your back. When God says to you, listen, whatever you need, call on me, He will be there. He will respond. God is not in the business of being polite and saying things He doesn't really mean. God means what He says, and He says what He means, and He's very clear about it. So, sometimes we're not okay. And it's okay to admit it. Sometimes we find ourselves in a hard place. Everybody, I find myself in hard places, and everybody here does. And if you're going to say no, you're lying. We all find ourselves in hard places sometimes. Sometimes we put ourselves there. Sometimes it just lands on our lap. We had nothing to do with it. You know, sometimes we feel down. Sometimes we cannot find anyone to turn to. At these times, we learn to depend on God because really there's nobody else to turn to. And I think God sometimes allows us to find ourselves in a position where we can't count on anybody. And we can't rely on anybody. And we can't lean on anybody so that we will lean on Him. It's like you take away a crutch and then the person has no alternative but to walk because they can't lean on that crutch anymore. And God, I believe, does that sometimes. Think about it. If God wants to get the attention of somebody who's very wealthy, just let me give you an example. If God wants the attention of somebody who's very wealthy, who depends and leans on their money, who thinks they can solve every problem in life with money, they just throw money at problems and problems go away. If God wants to deal with somebody like that, what's the first thing God's got to take away from him? The money. So that when the problem comes, he has nothing to throw at it. Then he's going to say, wait a minute, okay, so what do I do now? You call out to God, that's what you do. It's not because God is mean. It's not because God wants to hurt people. It's because God wants us to depend on him. Yeah, we need to depend on each other. That's cool. We're to love each other. We're to be there for each other. But there are situations in our lives where we need to depend on him and him only. Because nobody else can really help us in the situation we're in. So how many of you guys remember John Lennon's song, Help? Now, you may not have been around when it was sung originally, but everybody's heard it. And I love the lyrics of that song. Now, I wouldn't play too many John Lennon songs in church, right? But I'm going to play this one, and I'm going to let you read the lyrics. Please look at the lyrics, because this is a guy crying out for help. Songs are powerful because songs are poems. But songs, where do songs come from? They come from the deepest parts of our hearts and souls. This is where people pour themselves out. And you hear the lyrics of this song, and you can say, look, this guy, he was going through some stuff. And he needed help, and he was crying out for help. I think every one of us could sing this song and mean it in our lives, and it be the story of our lives in any given moment when we are in this situation. Watch the lyrics, read the lyrics, and listen to the song.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. So much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find, I change my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being right.
Listen to the lyric. Listen to what he says. I'm not so self-assured right now. What does he say? I'm feeling down. I feel so insecure. This is a cry out for help. And this is the reason I play this and the way I identify with this is that I've been there. I've been in that position. And I know that we have too. And that's where God comes in and says, hey, I'm here. What do you need? What's going on? How can we work? How can I help you walk out of this situation you're in and deal with it in a way where you can come out and get the help you need? That's what God wants to do. Help songs. There are a number of help songs in the Bible. They're pleas from people that are desperate. You read it in the story of Anna. Anna was desperate. She was desperate for a child. She was barren in a land and in a time where if you did not have children, you were worthless. She wanted with everything in her heart to have a child. And she cries out to God for that. She was crying out to God so powerfully that the priest came out and said, man, that lady's drunk. He thought she had been drinking. And she was just pouring herself out to God. God, I need you. I need help. It's a song for help. You have Israel in Egypt. They were being so exploited. They were being so manipulated. They were so tired of being slaves to the Egyptians that they were crying out for help. Lord, help us. Somebody help us. Get us out of here. Help. And God responded. You have the Jewish people in captivity in Babylon. When they were not happy in Babylon. They were oppressed by the Babylonian people. They were working. They were slaves. And you read how you read some of the passages where they are talking about how they feel and how they're dealing with it. And they're not doing well. They're pleading God for help. They need the help. You have Paul and Silas in prison. That passage is powerful because they got the snot beat out of them. They got beat up bad. And then they're thrown in a jail cell. They haven't done anything wrong or illegal. They've just been preaching the gospel. They were thrown in a cell. What did they do? They pled for help from God. How did they do it? They sang. They started singing to God. Now, it doesn't tell us what they were singing. And they probably weren't singing John Lennon. But I bet you they were singing for help. I bet you they were singing to God to reach out and help, to step, to intervene, to do something. You have David. Oh, man, how many times did David cry out for help from God? How many times? We're going to look at one of them tonight. Several pleas from different psalmists. Just a sampling of how this cry for help comes out in the Psalms, which, by the way, were songs as well that were played with musical instruments. Look at Psalm 94. Who will protect me from the wicked? Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had helped me, I would soon have settled in the silence of the grave. I was about to die. I cried out, I am slipping. But your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. If that's not a song of like, God, I cried out for help, and God stepped in there, and he pulled it. He pulled it off. He did it. He helped me. He lifted me up. He did what I asked him for. How about Psalm 46, 1-3? God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as waters surge. Why are we not going to fear no matter what happens? Because the Lord God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Always ready to help in times of trouble. You know, when we do evangelism, when I've taught evangelism in the Bible Institute, or when we teach apologetics, or when we teach people how to share the gospel with people, I always tell them that there's two types of people. When you approach somebody to share the good news of the gospels, there's only two kinds of people. Okay, there's people you approach where life is going okay for them. Things are okay. They're not rich or wealthy or whatever, but they're okay. They got some money in the bank. They have a stable job. They have a stable family life. Things are okay. That's the hardest person you can witness to. Because why are they going to change anything if everything's okay? If it's not broken, don't fix it. The idea is, why am I going to change when things are going the way that I want them to go? But let me tell you something. It's a totally different story when you do evangelism in hospitals. It's a totally different story when you do evangelism in jail ministry, prison ministry. Why? Because those people, things are not okay. They're broken. Either their health is broken or their whole spirit is broken because you've been incarcerated because of something you did or didn't do. It doesn't matter. You're in a place where you need God. And so sometimes we don't come to God because we think everything is cool, everything's all right. We think we don't need God because everything is okay. Listen, that's when we need God the most. That's when we need God the most, so that when things don't come out right, when storms come, when difficult situations come into our life, we're going to be strong because we're going to be in Christ. But sometimes we wait. We wait until calamity hits. We wait until the storm hits. And then we cry out to God. And there's some people that even then don't cry out to God. Even in the midst of the storm, they'd rather die, they'd rather sink, they'd rather be destroyed than cry out to help for God. That's a sad situation. That one I don't get. But that's the kind of people that we have sometimes around. Now here's the psalm I want you to open in your Bibles if you have it. We're going to spend a few minutes in Psalm 142. Another plea for help. This one is a song from David, a very personal, heartfelt psalm from David, Psalm 142. This is David in one of his moments where he really, really needed God. And there's so many of them. Some of David's psalms will break your heart. Some of them are so powerful. This is one of those psalms. Psalm 142 says, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. Verse 4, I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. Let's break it down. First of all, David was in a hard place. Look at the introduction. It says it's a psalm of David regarding his experience in the cave. A psalm of David regarding his experience in the cave. What was David's experience in the cave? Well, the opinion is mixed as to what that's referring to, because David had several cave experiences. But none of them were good. None of them were good. Because of what he says in this, we think this is a time where he was hiding in a cave because King Saul wanted to kill him. And he had done nothing wrong. And as he's hiding in the cave, King Saul's men found that he was there. And that's where we think the context is. But the point is, things were not going good for him. Look at verse 3. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. That's powerful. That's telling you David is not in a good place. Who is David going to turn to? You know he's got a bunch of brothers. He can't turn to his brothers because they don't like him too much. That's a sad situation, but we saw that when David and Goliath, and he goes up there and his brothers, they don't like him for whatever reason. Is he going to turn to his dad? His dad didn't think he was more than just a shepherd. Dad didn't even invite him to the party where God was going to anoint one of his sons as king. So who's he going to turn to? He has nobody. He has nobody to turn to except God. He's in a place of leadership, and sometimes that's a very lonely place. When you're in leadership, it's a very lonely place. And he calls out to the only person who can help him. David was feeling down. He felt depressed. Look at verse 6. Hear my cry, for I am very low. How else do you want to hear it? I mean, I'm depressed. Hear my cry, because I am very low. I'm in a low place right now. David was a singer. David had his harp. And David liked to dance. So David was a happy guy. You imagine David as a happy guy. Because what kind of a guy, like sings, plays the harps, and dances? Like he brought the tabernacle back, or he brought the altar back to Israel. And he was so excited about it that he was dancing in the streets. And his wife criticized him, man, you made a fool of yourself. And he was like, shut up. He loved it. He danced. This was a happy guy. And look what he says here. He's not happy right now. He says, I am low. Hear my cry, for I am very low. He feels like he's bound, like he's trapped in a prison, like he's in chains, even though he's not, but he feels that way. Look at how he says it in the verse. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. He's not literally in prison, but he feels imprisoned. He feels trapped, and sometimes we feel that way too. Sometimes we feel like we're in a rut. Sometimes we feel like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we're not in jail, but we feel like the decisions we have to make are so limited. We have such few options, and we don't like any of our options sometimes. Like, what do we do? Like, how do I handle this? Sometimes things are going bad at work. Sometimes things are going bad at home. Sometimes things are going bad at both home and work. And sometimes things are going bad in relationships. And sometimes things are going bad financially. And sometimes everything is going wrong. And everything is going bad. And you feel like you're trapped. And where do you turn? Nobody can get you out of that trap except God. Except God. He's the only one. And he tells you, I'm here for you. Let's break it down. David has no one to turn to. He says it himself. Look at verse 4. He says, I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Three times he tells you, no one, no one, no one. This, the picture I get when I hear this is like, you know those people that ask for money on the streets? That everybody walks by them and makes believe they're not there? That's kind of the feeling I get from this. David is seeking someone to help him, and nobody gives a crap. Nobody gives a hoot. It says, no one cares. No one gives me a passing thought. Nothing. Nobody. What do you do in that situation? Is it, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to sit there and cry and mope and blame people. Nobody loves me. If people would love me, they would help me. But listen, it's not about people loving you or not loving you. It's about who you need to turn to. You need to turn to God. He's there. Sometimes we can't help you. Sometimes your best friend can't help you. Sometimes your mom or your dad or your brother, your sister, your cousin, your brother in Christ, they can't help you. There are situations where only God can help you. And instead of looking to blame other people, instead of, you know, spending our time weeping or moping about other people, let's turn to God. Because he is there. He's willing. He will help. David turns to God. Look at verse 1. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Who knows best how we can get out of certain situations than God? Who knows best how we should handle ourselves during difficult times than God? Who knows best what the answer is? He that knows everything. He that knows our future. He that knows everything that's going to happen in our future. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know what alternative to take. Should I do this? Should I not? And I don't know. We turn to God. David says, you're the one that knows. Now, you got to understand David here also. David has been anointed king, and he's waiting for his opportunity to sit at the throne. And years are going by, and he's still not in the throne. And he's being persecuted, and his life is in danger. And so what do you do? Like, how do I get there, Lord? How do I get to where you want me to be? How do I deal with Saul, who's trying to kill me? How do I deal with these enemies? How do I deal with these 600 men you've given me that are a disaster, and I need to work with them? How do I do this? I don't know. See, none of us are born with a little instruction book on how to live life. None of us are born with a little manual on how to handle difficulty. We need to turn to God. We need to turn to his word. And he clearly lays it out there. This is how you do it. This is how you handle it. This is how it goes. But sometimes we just, that's the last idea in our mind. That's the last, I mean, we don't even think about God in these situations. David turns to God. He says in verse 5, then I pray to you, O Lord, I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Verse 6, hear my cry. And then he says, right down below that, rescue me. Verse 7, bring me out of prison so I can thank you. Listen to the pleas. Hear me, rescue me, take me out of this situation. Hear me. Rescue me, take me out of that situation, because you are my refuge. You are all I really want in life. What's a refuge? A refuge is a place where you are safe. A refuge is a place where you are safe. And David is telling God, God, you are my refuge. You are the place where I feel safe. In a refuge, you can lay your guard down. In a refuge, you can put your weapon down. In a refuge, you can close your eyes and you can sleep. You can rest because you're safe. And God is that safe place for us. He's our refuge. When we put ourselves in his hands, we can lay down the weapons. When we put our lives in his hands, we can stop. We can close our eyes. We can rest. We don't have to be vigilant all the time because he's looking out for us. God, you are my refuge. You are all I really want in life. David has come to that point where he realizes God is all that he really wants in life. What does that mean? That he doesn't want to be married? No, he's got a wife. He's got a couple of them, actually. That he wants kids? That he doesn't want his kids? No, he has his kids. That he doesn't want wealth? No, at one point he had a lot of wealth. But here's somebody who says, look, materially I got, and I know what it's like, but none of that really gives me what you give me. That's why you're everything I want in life. Because you give me the inspiration, you give me the guidance I need, you give me the peace, the safety, the refuge I need. That's what we're all looking for. You don't have to, it's not one or the other. It's like we have, and we want to have, and it's okay to have the material support. But the spiritual support from God is so much necessary, so much more valuable to us when we've tasted it, when we know what it's like to be able to rest in him. I want to close tonight reading you a psalm, another psalm of David, that is powerful. It tells you how you handle difficult situations in your life. Listen to these words, Psalm 121. It's one of my favorite psalms. Because it's David going through a hard time. And at the same time, understanding where his help comes from. Psalm 120, when I look up to the mountains, does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. He's not going to go to sleep on you. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord will keep you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. God's message to you tonight, to me, to all of us tonight is, you need help? Talk to me. You need help? Come to me. Are you feeling low? Come to me. You feel nobody cares, nobody listens, nobody, you have nobody, nowhere to turn? Come to me. God is very clear. Why would we not come to God? Why would we not come to God? Let me give you some of the reasons why we don't come to God. One is pride. Sometimes we don't come to God because we're too proud. I don't need anybody's help. I'll take care of this myself. I'll get out of this. I'll figure it out. That pride only postpones the inevitable. Because there comes a point in your life where you're going to realize, I can't. If God doesn't step in and help me, I cannot get out. I need his help. Sometimes we don't turn to God for help because we still think we can handle it. Not a matter of pride. It's just we seem to think that we're okay. We can handle it. No, I can handle it. I can take care of it. No, I'll do it. I've always gotten myself out of every situation. I can handle this. And we don't realize that God is trying to get our attention. You're not going to be able to handle it because God is not going to let you handle it. Because he wants you to turn to him. Sometimes we don't turn to God because we're angry at God. It's like trying to ask somebody for help when you're angry at them. That doesn't work real well, does it? It doesn't work real well. I know that when Daisy and I have an argument about something, and then I need her to help me with something, I don't want to ask her. No. Because we had an argument, because I'm angry. And we're like that with God. We get mad at God. We blame God for things in our lives. We make stupid, foolish decisions. We get ourselves in trouble, and then we blame God. And we get angry at him. Sometimes we didn't do anything. Sometimes life happened. The bad situation hit us. And we blame God. The Bible is clear. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. God doesn't send our way destruction and pain and suffering. But he's there when we need him. Does he allow some of these things to get into our life? Yes, he does. But we live in a fallen world. Stop blaming God. Stop being angry at God and seek his help. He's on your side. Why would you be angry at somebody who's on your side? He's our Father. He is our heavenly Father. He's Daddy saying, hey, what do you need? How can I help? I spoke to a man yesterday that it's a distant relative whose granddaughter, 27 years old, just took her life. She was in a tough situation. She lost custody of her daughter because of certain lifestyle decisions she has made, life behaviors that she's adopted in her life. Her mom is a disaster. Her dad is too. And I was talking to the grandfather. It was his granddaughter that passed away, that killed herself. And he was saying, Juan, I would try to help her. I would tell her, look, let me talk to you. I want to talk to you. And she would say, no, you don't talk to me. I know what you're going to say. I know. She wouldn't let him help. And sometimes we do that to God. God is talking to us, and we're like, no. I know what you're going to say. No. Yeah, I know I got to go to church. Yeah, I know I got to pray. Yeah, I got to know. I know. Yeah, I know. But we don't do it. But we don't listen. So we stay in the same rut. We stay in the same condition. We stay in the same situation. Nothing changes. And God is there saying, okay, whenever you shut up and let me talk to you, well, I'm going to help you. Things are going to get better. And you're there crying, when are things going to get better? When you decide to listen to me. And God is patient. God's got all the time in eternity because he's eternal. He's not in a hurry. It's in our best interest to listen to God, turn to God. And God's text to you tonight is, if you need me, I am here. If you have a problem, call me. Talk to me. Let me help you. Let's stand up tonight.